A key moment in yesterday's press conference between President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin was this question from Jonathan Lemire of the Associated Press.
Just now, President Putin denied having anything to do with the election interference in 2016. Every U.S. intelligence agency has concluded that Russia did. My first question for you, sir, is who do you believe? My second question is, would you now, with the whole world watching, tell President Putin, would you denounce what happened in 2016? And would you warn him to never do it again?
So let me just say that we have two thoughts. You have groups that are wondering why the FBI never took the server. Why haven't they taken the server? Why was the FBI told to leave the office of the Democratic National Committee? I've been wondering that. I've been asking that for months and months, and I've been tweeting it out and calling it out on social media. Where is the server?
Well, the president went on to say that Putin was very powerful in saying he didn't interfere. But that question there pulled the pickup stick out of the press conference, which collapsed in denials. Let's talk about the prism through which we watched with NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. Hi, David.
Hi.
David, we talked with Republican Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen, who said that question shouldn't even have been asked because it set up the president. But then the second the press conference was over, Anderson Cooper came back live on CNN with this. Let's listen.
You have been watching perhaps one of the most disgraceful performances by an American president at a summit in front of a Russian leader, certainly that I've ever seen. An extraordinary press conference. I'm back with CNN Global Affairs.
David, do you think that he there added to Congressman Mullen's thinking that Trump was ganged up on?
He may have, but I don't think that's the first concern of a CNN anchor. I don't think that's the first concern of a journalist is what impression it might leave in somebody's mind who's already predisposed to criticize you. I mean, a lot of Trump's allies may say you're trying to embarrass the president. That reflects, I think, a misunderstanding, in some cases an intentional misunderstanding of what the press is doing. I think the questions asked by the two reporters, American reporters able to pose questions to the president, were right on point. And if the president can't answer those questions, then that's an embarrassment to the nation, not an effort to embarrass the president here. For Anderson Cooper, if you think about what he had to say here, he was responding to a moment in which the president of the United States had not in private, it would seem, and certainly not in public, acknowledge, much less call out, the attack on the American elections of 2016 done by people at the behest of the autocrat standing directly alongside him. And, you know, you got to think about that. Those elections are the, you know, the tangible expression of democracy. And that's an attack on the nation of both parties. So it is a moment, you know, you can say, well, maybe Anderson Cooper got a little overwrought. But, you know, Cooper is trying to process, to explain, to reflect, and to ensure that what occurred, and to ensure that it doesn't go unmediated, that it's not just, hey, this thing happened in front of you and I'm going to offer you no context.
Right. I was thinking it's like saying, you know, we're going to go cover an air show and instead it turns into plane crashes. You have to say something. And later that night, he did say that comment was out of character. Let's just listen.
Well, yes, that was commentary, but it sprang from a simple fact. I'd never seen an American president speak of his Russian counterpart that way and his own intelligence community, because no one has. In my lifetime, I've seen presidents in both parties deal with Soviet and Russian leaders in many different ways, but never once kowtowing, never once refusing to acknowledge which country stands for freedom and which often opposes it.
It's been a long workday for Anderson Cooper, by the way. But let's get to another aspect of this, David, which is what happened on Fox News, which is very supportive of President Trump. But here was Neil Cavuto on Fox Business responding to a guest yesterday.
This was the time and the place for the president to look Putin squarely in the eye and said, you will be punished for what you did in 2016 and don't ever think about doing that again.
But he didn't. And that's what made it disgusting. That's what made his performance disgusting. I'm sorry. This is the only way I feel. It's not a right or left thing to me. It's just wrong. A U.S. president on foreign soil talking to our biggest enemy or adversary or competitor. I don't know how we define them these days, is essentially letting the guy get away with this.
And earlier in the day, Fox and Friends host also scolded the president for his tweet blaming the U.S. for bad relations with Russia.
He just tweeted out this morning, our relationship with Russia has never been worse, thanks to many years of U.S. foolishness and stupidity, and now the rigged witch hunt.
That's by far the most ridiculous tweet of late, and that is insulting to past administrations.
David, what do you make of what we saw on Fox News there?
So I think actually it's worth disaggregating. During the day part, you have some figures, including Neil Cavuto, who I spent some real time with earlier this spring, Shep Smith and others who are quite critical, who sometimes reflect reality and sometimes are quite critical of the president because, you know, this president and his presidency are so norm shattering and so expectation shattering and disruptive to the fabric of the nation in the way he's been doing things. You know, in the most watched parts of the day, you see a lot of defense being played for the president. Fox and Friends is one of those parts, but it seems to me that what they are often doing is offering the least critical critique they can offer or doing some damage control, often offering, as Michael Grinbaum of The Times pointed out a bit earlier today online, kind of talking points, certain ways to mitigate and navigate some of the sharp criticism coming at him, even from traditional allies, basically by saying, hey, this was ridiculous. This was a little over the line. But what are they pointing out here? They're pointing out something that is genuinely rhetorically offensive, but not going to the heart of, in some ways, what is more tangibly problematic, which is that the president took the word seemingly of Vladimir Putin, an autocrat, and placed it either above or at least equal to his entire national security and law enforcement establishment.
But then there was Sean Hannity, who interviewed the president in Helsinki right after the press conference. He may not have heard the uproar that had just started, or maybe he had and still went ahead with this. Let's listen.
Mr. President, great to see you.
Thank you very much.
You literally just finished the press conference with President Putin moments ago. A lot came up. You were very strong at the end of that press conference. You said, where are the servers? What about what Peter Strzok said? Where are the 33,000 emails? And there was this mystery answer that I think surprised a lot of people by the president of Russia as it relates to the Mueller investigation.
Well, first of all, he said there was no collusion whatsoever. I guess he said as strongly as you can say it, they have no information on Trump.
What do you make of that? I mean, Hannity is known as a huge supporter, but still.
Hannity's not only a huge supporter, he's a huge advisor. One of his closest friends, Bill Shine, the former co-president of Fox News, as we know, is now the deputy White House chief of staff and communications director for the president of the United States. Sean Hannity, a guy who talks to the president pretty much daily, offering him advice on both sides of the camera, both off the air and during his interviews on the air, effectively coaching him, guiding him to what he thinks is safe space. What safe space for the hardcore Sean Hannity viewer is what safe space for the hardcore Trump voter. And that is the idea of let's focus on the DNC. Let's focus on Hillary Clinton's emails. Let's focus on past investigations. Let's raise questions about the FBI, all of which, if you want to do in the right time and place with the actual facts, okay, that's not what's going on there. Mm. What's going there is deflection, obfuscation, you know, creating enough chaff that people aren't paying attention. Either Donald Trump is deliberately, the president of the United States is deliberately deflecting from the question of Russian culpability. And let's not call it meddling. Let's call it interference in the 2016 elections.
Right.
In part because he doesn't want there to be any erosion of the legitimacy of his win, which, after all, we should remember was a minority win. That is, he lost the popular vote.
He won the Electoral College. Is that right?
Exactly right. Or Donald Trump can't tell the difference between these scandals, in which case he's offering it honestly but isn't clear on what the actual facts are of the case.
David, we want to get to one more clip from Fox in the minute or so we have left. This is Chris Wallace, who dared President Putin to look at the indictment papers of 12 Russians.
I have here the indictment that was presented on Friday from the special counsel Robert Mueller that says that 12 members of Russian military intelligence, the GRU, you smile, let me finish. They say that these units were specifically involved in hacking into Democratic Party computers, stealing information, and spreading it to the world to try to disrupt the American election. May I give this to you to look at, sir?
And he tried to hand the papers to Putin,
no.
Who refused. I mean, this was Chris Wallace basically doing what people wanted President Trump to do.
Absolutely right. And let's not forget, Fox News is capable of doing tough news, capable of doing good interviews. Chris Wallace, perhaps the best exemplar of that. But when it came to asking tough questions of the president of the United States, who did it? Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, their primetime opinion pro-Trump hosts.
Okay, I'm going to do this real fast. Jimmy Kimmel from last night. Let's just hear.
This wasn't a good day for Donald Trump. We haven't seen an American so owned by a Russian since Rocky IV.
Okay. Put him pump. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. Thanks as always.
Thanks, David.
Thanks.